Thank you all. Thank you, ladies and Royce. And thank you again for being here this morning. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I want to look this morning at the matter of having habits of holiness. We're talking about habits of holiness. Last week, we looked at the responsibility to be holy. Remember, we're responsible. We're responsible to live a life of holiness. I shared how I was not very responsible growing up. We had an electric lawnmower, and I hated it, so I ran over the cord. I cut the cord in half. I didn't have to mow anymore that day because I wanted a gas-powered mower. I didn't like electric. I let my 64 Chevy run out of water one day and blew the engine. Why? Because I wasn't responsible. We need to be responsible in our walk with the Lord. Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, your bodily members, your bodily parts, servants unto uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when you were in the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become the servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's look to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, bless our time together tonight. Help me, or this morning, help me as I preach, and help us all to listen to what you have for us, Lord. And may we then go away from here with the desire to obey you in the area of our life where you challenge us and speak to us about any change that needs to be made, about our walk with you, about our love for you and our devotion to you. Lord, may we be holy as you are holy. That's a command. And that's our responsibility. But many times we shirk that responsibility. And we think, well, that's for others. That's not for me. But it's for us, Lord. It's for me to be holy as you are holy. And to imitate Jesus Christ and to be like him. We fall so far short, Lord, and we need your help. We are unable in our own strength. But by your power and your might and by your grace, we are able. And help us just to do what we ought to do and be what we ought to be for the glory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we looked at the responsibility we have to be holy. We looked at Hebrews 12:14, which says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I have a responsibility to follow holiness. And someone says, that's not for me. Yes, that's for you. If you claim to know Christ as Savior, your obligation is to live a life of holiness. I didn't say perfection. I didn't say spotlessness, but holiness. Be separated from sin. Be separated to God. Yes, we fail. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we will commit sins. But the direction of our life is to be one of holiness, to be like Jesus Christ. As you yield, again, Romans 6:19, as you yield your body and your bodily members or the parts of your body, servants to impurity and ever-increasing wickedness, lawlessness, now yield your bodily members once for all as a servant to righteousness. And it seems to me in the case with most of us humans that the more we sin, the more we are inclined to sin. The more we sin, the more we want to sin. Am I the only one that experiences that? I doubt it. But I think it's true. The more we sin, the more we want to sin. You know? Eating ice cream and donuts is not sin. I want to emphasize that, okay? It is not sin. But you know, I found that the more you eat of those things, the more you want. The more ice cream I eat, the more ice cream I want, the more I've got to have. That's why I have this habit, as you well know, of eating some ice cream every night. I got to have it. I can't go to sleep without it. You know, that's what kind of habit it has become. Now, I don't eat very much. But that's true of eating. That's true of alcohol consumption. You start down that road and drinking alcohol, where's it going to end? Where's it going to end? The best way for it to end is for it to never begin, because it will not end otherwise. Pornography, looking at titillating images of people on the net or in magazines or wherever. And where does it stop? Where does it stop? If you don't stop now, it won't. It won't. And it'll destroy you. Proverbs warns us that the man who follows in his lustful ways is like an ox going to the slaughter. It's going to kill you one day, and it will. Every sin we commit reinforces the habit of sinning and makes it easier to sin. When I was a kid, I and my friends used to love to make mudslides. You know, we'd find a good hill with a lot of dirt, and all the hills around Napanee, Nebraska were dirty. It was just dirt. And it was easy to make a mudslide. And it was a blast. And usually the best mudslides were by the river. I lived on the Republican River, just a short ways to Republican River, and you make a mudslide down the bank, and you'd slide down it and land in the river. And it was a lot of fun. And to make a mudslide, you had to clear out all the weeds and stuff, and then throw water up on the dirt and smooth it out, and throw water, more water, and then start sliding. And the more you slid, the easier it was, the slicker it got. And that's the way it is with sin. You know, we get in the habit of sinning, it makes it easier. And it slides easier. We slide into sin easier and easier. It's like opening a Pandora's box. If we're going to develop habits of holiness, we need to break the habits of sin. And I can do that. God's given me the power and the grace and the strength to break the habits of sin. But I got to realize they're sin. Many of these habits are sin. And to do so, we have to first understand how habits influence our wills. A definition of a habit. A habit is an action done so often that one does it without thinking. I was going to say sinking. No, you do sink. You do so. It's an action done so often that you do it without thinking. It's a settled, regular practice, especially one that's hard to give up. Or it's just what you usually do without even thinking. Like brushing your teeth. You don't have a to-do list, and you don't write down, brush my teeth this morning. You just do it. It's a habit. It's ingrained in you. Or putting on your makeup. You know, it's just, for me, it's just second nature. I don't even think about it. I just do it. What habits do we have? Our lives are filled with usual practices, and they find their source in our thinking. Our way of thinking determines our way of living. Our way of thinking determines our habits. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Habits are the thought patterns engraved in our minds. And you do something, and it just kind of makes a furrow across your brain. Makes a little line. Then you do it again. Let's say drinking. take a drink of alcohol, and it forms a line across your brain. And then you think, well, that wasn't so bad, I might try it again. And then and then that furrow gets deeper and deeper and deeper till one day you can't quit. And all of a sudden you realize, I'm an alcoholic, I'm a drunk, because I began with that one drink. By the way, you're not born an alcoholic, you become one by drinking alcohol. Okay? I've never met an alcoholic that never touched alcohol. Someone says, I'm an alcoholic. Do you drink? No, I've never touched the stuff. Okay, I don't buy that. Now, you know, I was, my dad was, my dad about died because of alcohol. And one day a dog saved his life. He was passed out in a dry creek bed where there was glass and empty cans, and he cut himself and he started bleeding and he was passed out. And our dog came and started licking his wound and healed it overnight, licking that wound. But it'll kill you. Every lust, John Owen, the Puritan John Owen said, every lust is a depraved habit. Every lust is a depraved habit, continually inclining our hearts to do evil. Now, every spiritual thing is a godly habit, inclining our hearts to do right. So we replace those bad things with good things, evil with righteousness. You know, when I was a kid, I loved going out in the pasture with my dad, checking on the cows, and walking on the cow paths. I couldn't figure out why these paths were all over the pasture. How did they get there? And then I realized the cows did that, because they all follow each other to go get their feed and get their water. And they all followed in line, and over the days and weeks and months, they'd make a path. And then that path would get deeper and deeper. What I couldn't figure out is why some of these paths were 2 or 3 feet deep. I thought, well, a cow can't even walk down that path. They're too fat. They won't fit in it. And one day I learned that path probably got deeper because rainwater would fall on the path, and the rainwater would make it deeper and deeper and deeper. And I loved following the cow paths and walking all over and following where they go. But the cows would go over and over and over, and it was a habit for them. It was a habit. And so the paths of our mind, if we think good thoughts and fill our heart and mind with good things, Bible things, righteous things, we'll have good thought patterns. We'll develop habits of holiness, like habits of brushing your teeth, or washing your face, or combing your hair. Habits of holiness, even better. But fill our mind with evil, and before long, an evil path is etched across our mind that is not easily erased, like those cow paths. You don't get rid of them very easily. They just get deeper and deeper. How is my life characterized? My habits of holiness or habits of sin? Habit of Bible reading, prayer, or habits of anger and lust? Romans 6:19 again. As you have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. See, as unbelievers, we formally gave ourselves to developing habits of unholiness, what Paul calls yielding your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, or towards ever-increasing wickedness. It just gets wickeder and wickeder. And every time we sin, every time we lust or covet or hate or cheat or lie, we are developing habits of ever-increasing wickedness. And we need to call it what it is. Sometimes we're like, oh, well, it's just my nature. It's just my nature. Well, yeah, it's a sinful nature. It's the old man rising up, trying to take over that new man, that you became in Christ. These repeated acts of unrighteousness became habits and made us slaves to sin. It just got worser and worser. And next thing you know, you're wedged in that cow path and you can't get out. Remember, there are times we had to help the cattle out because they got wedged in that deep path, you know, and they couldn't go forward, and all of a sudden they couldn't go backward, and we had to get a rope and try to help them out. Well, as believers, things are different now. God has made us new creatures in Christ. He's quickened us together with Christ. He's raised us up together. He's made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ. He has broken sin's power. He has broken the habits of sin. He's loosed us from the shackles of sin. And Paul says in Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We who were formerly darkness are now children of light, and thus are to walk as children of light. You're a child of God. Live like a child of God. You're a child of Christ. Live like a child of Christ. It's not hard to figure it out. That's your responsibility. It's being holy as God is holy. And God would never command us to do something that he doesn't give us the strength, the ability to do. I can't be perfect, but I can be holy. I can be holy, and that's the direction of my life. As we used to give ourselves to these habits of sin, iniquity unto iniquity, so now we're to yield our members, servants of righteousness unto holiness. We're to be slaves to holiness now. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. If you would, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 21, I want to begin with verse 21. Verse 21, Ephesians 4, if so be you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, or put off the former way of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So verse 22, put off. Verse 24, put on. Put off the old, put on the new. And put on a happy face, right, along with it. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. You change your way of thinking. Your thought patterns are created in righteousness and true holiness now that you've come to know Christ as Savior, if you know him as Savior. As Paul words it to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:7, he says, exercise thyself unto godliness. Timothy, do your exercises. And your exercises are to be to godliness. The word exercise literally is gymnase, or gymnasium. So he's saying, Timothy, gymnasium yourself to godliness. Or do your gymnastics, do your spiritual gymnastics, your spiritual exercises to godliness. And he speaks of that in a similar way, only worded differently, in 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, but we'll not turn there. Now, how do I do it? How do I do it? Well, fundamental to all else is we must not try to do it in our own strength, because we can't do it. We can't do it because I'm a sinner. And I'm saved. I've been made righteous, but I have the remains of sin in my life yet. And so I can't do it in my own strength, but I must do it in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. We sing the song, Stand Up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. And included in that song is a line, the arm of the flesh will fail you. That's true. It sure fails me every time. The arm of the flesh will fail you. Jeremiah 17:5, Jeremiah says, Cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. Cursed be the man who trusts in man. Cursed be me if I trust in my own strength, my own ability, or in others to help me to walk a spiritual walk. God says in Zechariah 4, verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's a spiritual battle. It is won by the Holy Spirit dwelling in me and my yielding myself to him. Sheer human resolve and determination will not cut it. It won't cut it. Now, sheer determination and resolve might get you by in football practice. Boy, I remember high school football. Those practice, those drills before the season started were brutal. They were brutal. Doing the wheelbarrow, where your friend picks you up by your feet and you walk with your hands across the football field. It didn't matter if there's weeds or stickers or what. You toughen up. Or doing drills barefoot out in the weeds and everything. Sprints. 5-yard sprints and back, and sprint, you know, you that were in football know all that. It was brutal, and it made you want to quit. And I did one time, not football, but in track. In track, we had to run and run and run, and we'd go in the locker room, the coach would have written up on the board what we're to do for the day, and then say, WJR, walk, jog, run. That means you walked around the track one time, you jogged around the track one time, then you ran around the track another time, then you did it repeatedly, I don't know how many times. And you'd walk, and it just was brutal. And I did it because I ran the half mile. I was a long distance runner, and I had to get in shape. But one day I was out there running and practicing, and one of my friends, he was running, and all of a sudden I saw him bent over, and he was sick, getting sick. He was losing it, you know what I mean? And when I saw that, I thought, I am done with this. And I left the field. I went in the locker room. I got dressed, and I told the coach, I'm no longer in track. And he lost his half-mile runner. But best job I ever quit, I guess. Anyway, and the Bible says in John 1:13 that we are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We're born again, not by our sheer determination, but of God's Spirit. Again, John 1:13. How were you saved? How were you saved? Not by the will of the flesh. Not by the will of the flesh, but by God. And Paul writes in Galatians 3:3, having begun in the Spirit, which we were, if we're saved, we began with the spiritual birth. Having begun in the Spirit, will we be made perfect in the flesh? And the assumed answer is no. I'm not going to find perfection by sheer resolve and determination. Apart from the leaning and help of the Spirit, we'll only begin developing our own legalistic system of works righteousness. And the world is filled with people thinking they're on the way to heaven because they're working at it. They're doing so good. And they're winning that battle, you know, by sheer determination. And that doesn't develop habits of holiness. And developing habits of holiness is not easy. But it's impossible apart from the Spirit. It's a spiritual work. But let's just consider some practical principles that possibly can help us in exercising ourselves unto godliness. Some principles to exercise for habits of holiness. Number one, frequent repetition. Frequent, that's hard for me to say. Frequent repetition. In other words, repeating, doing it again and again and again. A habit is defined as a person's usual practice. What you usually do, and you can do it without thinking almost. A habit is a person's usual practice. The more we sin, the more we're inclined to sin. But the more we say no to sin, the more we are inclined to say no. If I say no, 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 over and over every day to sin, temptation, lust, pretty soon it just becomes natural. It's my usual habit. It's just what I do. It's not hard at all. It's not hard at all. Maybe your habit is yelling at the kids and your wife. I must be talking to husbands here. No, you don't need to do it. Start talking nicely to them. Replace that bad habit with a good one. You probably have a habit of getting up at 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning. How do you do it? You develop the habit. When Bert and I used to drive school buses, we had to get up at 4:30, 4:45 in the morning, and so we can be there ready for our route and be in our bus by 6 o'clock that morning and going out picking up kids for school. When I worked at UPS when I was going to Bible college, I had to be at work at 3 in the morning. I had to be there at 3 because we loaded the trucks. The drivers came about 7 in the morning and they had to be loaded, so we had to get up early. I didn't do very well. In fact, the first week, I got a verbal warning. I got 2 verbal warnings. And my boss said, next one is a written warning, and then you're fired. You can't be late. You can't not show up to work. I remember one time I got a phone call about 4 in the morning. It was my boss, and I could hear the conveyor belts going with packages going down. He said, Terry, I'm coming to work, and I'm late in bed, and I'm 8 miles from work, you know. I said, yeah, I'll be there right away. And so I had to learn to get up at 2 or 2:30 in the morning. And for 26 years, I had not developed that habit. So I failed to respond to the promptings of the alarm clock day after day. And so what I knew, I went out and bought 2 more alarm clocks. And I had one by my bed, I had one in the living room, and I had one in the kitchen. And if one didn't wake me up and get me, I had to get out of bed and shut those alarm clocks off. And I finally developed the habit of getting up and going to work. So, in dependence upon the Holy Spirit, we must systematically work at acquiring the habit of saying no to the sins that so easily entangle us. They so easily entangle us. We all know what those sins are, the sins to which we are particularly, particularly vulnerable. We need to begin concentrating on those sins that are going to trip us up and destroy us if we don't bring them to a halt. We need to focus on one thing, maybe one problem, one sin. Focus on one sin, one sin. My trouble is that I try to take on everything at once, you know? Like on Monday morning, I'm going to get up at 5 in the morning. I'm going to read 5 chapters of my Bible. I'm going to memorize a verse a day. I'm going to start a diet. And I'm going to start jogging. Well, I don't do that now. I used to say I'm going to start jogging. Now I say I'm going to start walking. I'm going to read a book. I'm going to read a book every week, and I'm going to start saving 10-15% of my paycheck. That's what I'm going to do. I mean, I'm going to be Mr. Discipline. Well, that's like shooting at 10 ducks all sitting on a pond with one shot, and the pellets just scatter all over. And I hit a lot of ducks, and the duck says, nah, 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 that didn't hurt me, and they fly away, right? They fly away. Shotgun effect. I hit a lot, but no kill. I need to focus in on one thing. I need to set my sight on one target, aim, and fire, and kill that nasty habit. Maybe the Lord's dealing with you about a TV habit, or maybe an internet. More likely an internet habit. You're watching too much, or you're watching things that you shouldn't be watching. And so you say, this week I'm going to shut it off, and I'm going to start reading a book, a good book, an enjoyable book. That might work. Shut it off. Start reading instead. Read Treasure Island, or read To Kill a Mockingbird, or Get a classic and read it. Read Dr. Seuss. Some good things there. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Get up 15 minutes earlier. I can do that. 10 minutes, 15 minutes earlier will give me time to read a chapter, two chapters, maybe three chapters, and then pray. I can do it, but I've got to discipline myself. The more we succeed at saying no to our sinful desires, the easier it becomes to say no. And also, the more we say yes to good habits, the easier it becomes to say yes. We have to work. It all comes down to work. And I know that's a nasty four-letter word, but it's one we need. Work. I work at it. I work at developing habits, habits of prayer, reading, meditating on Scripture, treating my family kindly and with honor. And these habits will only come by frequent repetition. So we said number one is frequent repetition. Number two, a second principle in breaking sinful habits is never let an exception occur. Don't let there be an exception. When we let an exception in, we are reinforcing old habits or failing to reinforce new ones. You know, we need to beware of the one more time syndrome. Or I'm just gonna do this one more time. I'm just gonna eat one more bowl of ice cream, you know, and this last time, or just this once type of thinking. It's a trap we all fall into. So don't listen to Mr. One More Time, because he'll destroy you if you don't destroy him, right? We're just not willing to pay the price of saying no to our desires, and so we say just one more time. I mean, I am saying no, but I can still say one more time, tomorrow's going to be different. Yeah, heard that one before. I've told that one to myself many times. Tomorrow will be different. So, habits of holiness, number one, frequent repetition. Number two, no exceptions. Number three, discipline in all areas. Diligence, being diligent in all areas. That's required to ensure success in one area. Maybe I need to discipline my mind to think on good things and not fleshly, lustful things. But I'd better control my physical appetite as well then. You know, and I know we think that indulging our appetites spiritually and physically is no big deal, not so bad. But when we do, we weaken our wills and every other aspect of our lives. Proverbs 23:2 says, put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Put a knife up to your throat if you have a tendency to gluttony, is what it's saying. Proverbs 23:2. So frequent repetition, no exceptions, diligence in all areas. And fourthly, don't be discouraged when you fail. Don't be discouraged by failures. And there's a difference between failing and being a failure. We become a failure when we give up. We just quit trying. Like when I walked off the track that day, I just quit trying. I gave up. And who knows how many gold medals I missed out on. But I have a lot. I'll show them to you if you want to come over. I'll show you my gold medals, my ribbons. I and my team, we had a two-mile relay team. We each ran a half mile, and we won about every meet we went to. We did. We were good. But, you know, they're just medals. but I got discouraged, and I quit. Who knows how many more medals I could have won. Don't be discouraged by failure. And there's a difference between failing and being a failure. We become a failure when we stop trying. And if at first you don't succeed, we say, try again, right? Proverbs 24:16 says, a just man falleth seven times, and he rises up again. He falls seven times. That means he just keeps falling and falling and falling. But a just man keeps getting back up. Say, I get tired of it. Don't. Keep getting back up. How long do I have to do that? Till you're dead. Then you can't get back up. as you'll be with the Lord, right? Don't quit. Never say never. You can do it. Thomas Edison, how many failures did he have? How many failures did he have? Thomas Edison said he had 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing the light bulb. He never called them failures. He had 1,000 unsuccessful attempts in inventing the light bulb. And someone asked him, how did it feel to fail 1,000 times? He said, I didn't fail 1,000 times. The light bulb was an invention with 1,000 steps. So that's a good answer. That's a good answer. Well, we're dealing with a more important task than inventing a light bulb. Though the light bulb was a pretty important invention. So let's get at the work of developing habits of holiness. And the battle is on two fronts, without and within. So frequent repetition, no exceptions, diligence in all areas, and don't be discouraged by failure. Because each failure is a step towards success. And by God's grace, we have God on our side after all. And if God be for us, who, pray tell, can be against us? God help us to be what we ought to be for his glory and honor and do what we ought to do and be diligent at it. Be diligent at being holy, for he is holy. Let's pray. I pray, Lord, your blessing now as we close. I pray if there be anyone here who doesn't know you as Savior, and they'll trust you as Savior. We can't be holy until we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And I pray if there's one here that doesn't know that, doesn't know for sure that when they die, they're going to heaven, doesn't know if their sins are forgiven, may you draw them to yourself even today, Lord. May they come to you and call upon your name to be saved. And Lord, for those who are saved, it may be that they feel like they're a failure. They failed so many times, and they haven't been practicing these habits of holiness. I pray today would mark the beginning of a new life for them, in a sense, a new way of living. And living for you and living a life of holiness, Lord. And it's so wonderful to know we can. By your power and your grace and your strength. Thank you, Lord, you love us. Thank you that you never give up on us. You're always there. You're always there to help us. And that we fail, but you don't mark us off as failures. We thank you for that because Jesus Christ did not fail. He went all the way to the cross. And may we come to the cross and find our strength and hope and help in him and him only. So bless now as we close. We commit this time to you, praying in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's